Good morning. Certainly glad to see so many bright and shining faces this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're grateful to have you with us and hope you'll join us again this evening at 6 p.m. for our Sunday evening worship service. There is a parable that is told about a sheep and a wolf. I know there's a lot of parables. Aesop Fables has like 20 with sheep and wolves and sheep. But this particular one I think is relevant to our sermon this morning. See, a wolf, being a wolf, is pursuing a sheep. I know, shocking. That's unusual behavior for a wolf. But this wolf pursues a sheep, and the sheep, in trying to find a way to survive the wolf, decides to find refuge in a temple. The wolf, realizing that he can't go after the sheep in the temple, decides to coax him out mentally. That means to use your words, Ricardo. So he's trying to get him to come out of the temple because he realizes he can't kill the sheep in the temple. So he says to the lamb, he says, listen, if you stay in the temple, when the priest finds you, he surely is going to kill and eat you. The sheep thinks about it for a minute and then he responds, so be it, for it is better to be sacrificed to God than to be devoured by you. It's an interesting little story, and the outcome for the sheep, though, is roughly the same. In either scenario, he's going to die. But in the sheep's mind, not all sacrifice is the same. To be eaten by the wolf would be a tragedy to the sheep. But to be killed in the service of God, well, that would be a blessing. I think we could all learn something from that little sheep. This morning's sermon's title is simply, The Lord is My Shepherd, and our key verses you heard read was Psalms 23:1. This comes from a passage in the Bible that's often quoted when we're in times of distress and sorrow. Today we'll take a closer look at specifically verses 23 and verse 1, The Lord is my shepherd, so that we can say, as the psalmist later says in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now remember our little parable this morning about the sheep, the wolf, and the priest. The sheep is really us. The wolf is the world that seeks to devour us, and the priest in this scenario is God. Can we be like the little sheep in our parable and say it is better to be sacrificed to God than to be devoured by the world? Sheep versus goats. You know, this morning I need to take you back a little bit to biology class. Remember high school biology class? Some of us are already starting to shake and shiver. Derek's thinking I'm trying not to think about high school biology class. And no, Ricardo, I don't want you to remember throwing dead frogs at girls. That's not what I'm referring to. This morning, though, I want to remind us of a term called taxonomy. If you remember biology, and Derek, you're going to correct me afterwards if I get this wrong, taxonomy is the way we classify things, simply put. And we want to classify all living things in the way they're like each other, right? So you start at the very high level, and we start with domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. As you move down the taxonomy, things get more and more similar. As you move up the taxonomy, things get more diverse. Okay, very simple. That's all I need to know for this morning. So when I was looking at this sermon this morning, one of the things that jumped out for me is, in my mind, how often I confuse a sheep and a goat. Now, if you put a sheep and a goat in front of me, I probably could tell them apart. But being removed from that, I know oftentimes I get confused between the two because they tend to be very much the same. That's why when you look at a taxonomy between a sheep and a goat, they're actually classified very close together. They're in the same class, same order, same family, and even the same subfamily. That's how similar a sheep is from a goat. So remember, as we move down the taxonomy, things get closer together. They become more like each other. But as similar as these two animals are, they're also two very different, distinct animals. We have to get all the way down to the genus level before we see them start to separate from each other. Goats go to the capra, and the sheep go to the ovis. Now, to someone who doesn't work with sheep and goats, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart, especially when comparing a haired sheep, not the typical, we always think Shams sheep have wool, and they do, but there is actually a breed that also has hair. So when comparing a sheep that has hair with a goat, it can be very difficult to tell them apart. And often we will confuse them when we see them. Because of their similarities, we even confuse the terms that go between sheep and goats. For example, a female sheep is called a ewe, but a female goat is called a doe, which I didn't know until I was preparing this morning. I would have said a ewe applied to both. I learned something in preparation. Maybe you can take that and that's your one nugget. You can leave her and say it was worth being here this morning. A male sheep is called a ram. And a male goat is called a billy goat. So again, I didn't realize that was the distinction, but a billy is for male goats, rams are for male sheep, and a young lamb is called, a young sheep is called a lamb, and a young goat is called a kid. Now I know sometimes in my mind, because I didn't grow up on a farm, lambs, sheep, and goats all come together and I'm not sure which is which. But a lamb is just a baby sheep, a young sheep. Okay, so you've got all that down. We understand that because they're so similar, sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. One of the interesting facts I learned in preparing for today's sermon is the easiest way to tell a goat from a sheep is by their tails. Did not know that. Apparently, a goat in its natural state will have its tail up. A lamb in its natural state will have its tail down. And that's how experts will tell novices like myself, if you want to know if it's a sheep or a goat, check out the tail, because that's the way they tend to hang naturally. So while they have many similarities, it's the differences that are important. An expert who knows what they're looking at can tell them apart very easily. For example, foraging habits are very different between sheep and goats. Goats tend to be browsers. They like leaves and twigs and vines and shrubs, and they will even stand on their hind legs to get the vegetation. Sheep are what they call grazers. They like the short, tender grass. They like clover. They like broadleaf leaves, and they tend to graze closer to the surface. Behavior is also very different between sheep and goats. Goats tend to be curious, independent, and very difficult to pen. A sheep comes across as somewhat distant and aloof. They have very strong flocking instincts, become very agitated when separated from the flock, but are, because of that, much easier to pen as animals. Physical attributes are different. Goats have hair. Goats have hair, and because they have hair, they don't require combing and shearing and those kind of things. They're what they call naturally horned, and when they have horns, they're very straight as they grow back from their heads. You remember the characteristic billy goat beard, right? That's one of the telltale signs of a goat. Goats have beards, and they can be very, very aggressive around sheep. Matter of fact, when around sheep, they tend to dominate the sheep that are around them. Sheep typically have wool, although I mentioned there is a breed that has hair, which can make this even more confusing. Many breeds are hornless, and they're called polled breeds. But when horned, sheep have curved horns. So goats straight, sheep have rounds. And interesting enough, I learned this, unlike goats, sheep have tear ducts, which is a distinct difference between the two breeds. So to someone who works often with sheep and goats, it's very easy to spot the difference. And because of their differences, sheep and goat need very different caring, very different things. That's why sheep need shepherds and goats need goat herders, which I didn't know was a word until I was preparing today. So there you go. There's something else you can tuck away and say, okay, it wasn't a complete waste of time this morning. Our key verse is found in Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I believe in this verse, we can make 3 points and applications to our life. First, if the Lord is our shepherd, then we must be a sheep. That's an important point that sometimes I think we gloss over when we read that verse. And as a sheep, the second point is we need a good shepherd. Not just any shepherd will do, we need a good shepherd. And the third point is that as his sheep, we will not want. And we shall not want, which I think are two very distinct differences, and we'll talk about it later in the sermon. So what does it mean to be a shepherd? So we'll look at the following characteristics. A shepherd feeds and cares for his sheep. A shepherd protects his sheep. A shepherd knows his sheep. And finally, a good shepherd will die for his sheep. Let's look first at a shepherd feeds his sheep. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, the scripture says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Why does Isaiah make that point? Because shepherds feed their flock. It's an application that can be made. And in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And because of this characteristic that shepherds feed their sheep, it's why the psalmist would write in Psalms 23 and verse 2, the verse immediately after our key verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And because the Lord is our shepherd, Paul then later writes in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. It's the reason why the psalmist would write, I shall not want, because the Lord is our shepherd, and shepherds feed their sheep. But second, a shepherd protects his sheep. We could look at many passages to make this point, but to illustrate this point, we'll focus on Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountain of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Verse 14, I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. Sounds a lot like Psalms 23. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So God, through Ezekiel, reminds us that a shepherd will protect his sheep. As David, in describing his duties as a shepherd in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 and 37, says that he went so far as to even to kill a lion and a bear. Now, he did this as a young man. Now, why did David risk his life? Was it to protect the entire flock? No, David says it was to protect a single sheep, not the flock. And he was really willing to risk his life in order to protect that sheep. David did this because David knew a shepherd will protect his sheep. Jesus is hearkening back to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, which we just read, also makes this point that a shepherd will protect his sheep. If you turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, Jesus says the following. What man of you having 100 sheep and having lost one doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance. It is this characteristic of a shepherd, of protecting his sheep, that inspired the psalmist to write in Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, a shepherd will feed and care for his sheep, and a shepherd will protect his sheep. But third, a shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus, illustrating his care for his people, uses the image of a shepherd to his sheep in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Jesus says, to him that porteth open, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And later Jesus says in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my sheep. A shepherd feeds and cares for sheep. A shepherd protects his sheep. And a shepherd knows his sheep. The fourth point about a shepherd we want to look at is that a good shepherd will die for his sheep. Continuing in John chapter 10, Jesus says the following in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And later in verses 15 through 18, Jesus says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. A shepherd will feed and care for his sheep. A shepherd will protect his sheep. A shepherd knows his sheep, but a good shepherd will die for his sheep. Jesus is that good shepherd. And as the psalmist writes in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he feeds and he cares for us. He protects us. He knows us, and he has died for us. But to have a shepherd means that we must be sheep, and not just any sheep, but his sheep. And I believe it requires the following things for us to be his sheep. We must know the shepherd. As the shepherd knows us, we must know the shepherd. And second, we must follow that shepherd. So what does it mean to follow, to know the shepherd? John chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, which we've already read, says that his sheep know his voice, and they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, if you've ever had a dispute between ownership of a dog, where two people arguing the dog belonged to them, one of the easiest ways to settle that is you put the dog in the middle and you put both parties on opposite sides. Then both individuals will call the dog. The dog will always go to its master. An interesting thought when we apply this to our sermon this morning. When we think about who our shepherd is. See, we are called by Jesus and we are called by the world. The question is, which master will we respond to? Because who we respond to, that is our master. A sheep only responds to its shepherd. So when facing questions of life or trials in life or questions of our faith, where do we go for answers? Do we seek the Bible? Do we trust friends' advice? Do we consult secular experts to tell us what to do? Do we consult other religions for wisdom on wisdom? Or do we remember things that are found in the scripture, like James 1:5, that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Or 1 Corinthians 3:19-21, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So how do we then know the shepherd? Well, Jesus says in Mark 11:29, to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, this verse implies that we can know Jesus. And the verse also implies that we must know Jesus. And we must know Jesus because of other things Jesus has said. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And in John 8:32, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But Jesus also tells us this important principle about knowing the shepherd. In Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For anyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When we ask, seek or knock, we receive an answer, we find him and we have a door open. And remember, Jesus says in John 10 that he is the door for the sheep. We can take courage because Paul states that God is never far from us in Acts 17:27. We don't have to look very hard. He's always close to us. So how then do we know the shepherd? Certainly we ask, we seek, we knock, but how do we accomplish that? Well, Paul, in encouraging a young minister in his faith, says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God. For if we do, then we will know God. Which is why Jesus would say in John 12:48, that he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath the one that judge him, and the words which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. But because we know Jesus, knowing Jesus is not enough, we must also then abide in Jesus. A sheep will not leave its shepherd. Why? Because it is dangerous for a sheep to leave its shepherd. Remember, sheep protects. A good shepherd will die for its sheep. So as sheep, not only is it important for us to know and to know the voice of our shepherd, but we must stay with that shepherd. In John 15:4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. In John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. To abide in him means to dwell in Jesus, to remain in him and to stay in him. And as sheep, we will know the shepherd, and we will abide in him. Second point about a sheep will follow his shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 4 through 5, we've already read this, that a sheep will follow him, and they will follow only their shepherd, and they will flee from anyone else because they don't know anybody else. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's why the psalmist would say in Psalms 23, verse 2, "He leadeth me beside still waters." So what does it mean to follow Jesus, our chief shepherd? In 1 John 2, 6, he said, "He that saith, he abideth in him, also himself also so ought to walk, even as he walks." So we need to walk as the shepherd walks if we're to abide in him, if we're to follow him. In Philippians 2, 5, Paul would write, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So to follow Jesus means to think and to act and to talk like Jesus. And in Matthew 10, 24, Jesus says, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord," which means we should expect nothing more from this world than this world was willing to give our shepherd. Like the shepherd, being a sheep requires sacrificial living. Remember our parable of the sheep and the wolf, where the sheep simply said, "It is better to be sacrificed to God than to be devoured by you." Can we this morning say the same? Would we rather be sacrificed to God, or would we rather be devoured by this world? As the shepherd is willing to die for a sheep, John 10:11, we must also be willing to sacrifice ourselves for him. Brain gets ahead of the mouth. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would find his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for me, for my sake, shall find it." But our sacrificial living must also be visible. Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Our fruits of sacrificial living will be what determines whether we are the sheep or we are the goat. It's kind of like those experts that were telling the novice, how do you tell a sheep and a goat apart? You look at their tails. How do you tell a spiritual sheep from a spiritual goat? You look at the fruits of their sacrificial living. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, as if to illustrate this point, Jesus says the following: "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but to the goats on his left. Then the king shall say unto them on the right hand," the sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now why, Jesus, are these people sheep? Verse 35, "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." See, the tell is what's going to tell us the sheep and the goat. The sheep, their tell is going to be all these wonderful sacrificial living fruits of feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those in affliction. But then he's going to say to the goats, the ones on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Why, Lord? Why is this group of people considered goats? Well, verse 42, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. And in prison, you did not visit me." Then shall they say unto the Lord, "When did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And these, the left, the goats, shall go into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, the sheep, shall go into eternal life. When the master, when the chief shepherd comes, he's going to know the difference between the sheep and the goats. No matter how hard we try to deceive ourselves and others, we cannot deceive the chief shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The third point I wanted to make on this verse, certainly that he is our shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. And certainly that means we need to be his sheep, and that means we need to know him and we need to follow him. But the last part also is important. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd. He feeds and cares for us. He protects us. He knows us, and he's died for us. And as his sheep, we must know the shepherd, and we must follow him. And when we do these things, we shall not want. You see, certainly God provides for me everything I need. We've already read that, Philippians 4:19, but God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. That's why the psalmist would say that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Therefore, what he does not provide for me, I then do not need. If I am a sheep and he is my shepherd, I shall not want. One, because God provides us all the things we need. We have those promises in countless verses. God is going to give us everything we need because he is our shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. He's willing to die for us. But the second point I want to make on this is because he is our shepherd and because he gives us all that we need, I am required to be content. Content to be a sheep and content to have all of my needs met. Being desirous of things beyond our needs is called covetousness or greed. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. In 1 Timothy 6:6-10, Paul writes, for godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therein be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evils, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 16, the psalmist writes, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I shall not want. In Hebrews 13:5, the Hebrews writer says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul, making this very point, says this, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And notice verse 13, which we often quote and quote out of context with the verses 11 and 12. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If we are to be as sheep, we must not want. Now, we shall not want, certainly is a promise from God that he will provide for our needs, but I also think it serves as a warning to us that we must find contentment with what the shepherd provides for us. He gives us everything we have, and everything we do not have, we do not need. And that's why the psalmist says, I shall not want. Remember, a sheep knows his shepherd's voice, and Jesus calls us to contentment. The world calls us to covetousness. Who we respond to shows us who our true shepherd is. So Jesus is either your shepherd or he is not. That's a simple statement. He's either your shepherd or he's not. If he's your shepherd, you know him and you follow him. You are either a sheep or a goat. There's only two groups when the chief shepherd comes. He will sort those on the right, call them sheep. Those on the left, he will call a goat. That means you are either in his fold or you are not in his fold, which means you will either be with him in heaven or you'll be without him in hell. A true sheep knows his shepherd. A true sheep follows his shepherd. A true sheep does not want. Only a true sheep can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Psalms 23:1. And only a true sheep can appreciate what 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So by invitation, Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus also says in John 10:10, "A thief cometh, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." He also says in John 10:7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And in John 10:9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture." In verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for his sheep." And in verse 16 of John 10, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd." You realize if you're not in the flock of Jesus today, he's talking to you in that verse. I imagine that Jesus, when he uttered that, had your face in his mind when he uttered those words. His desire is for you to be a part of his one flock. His desire is for him to be your chief shepherd. Jesus also promises in John 14:3 that if I go, which we know he is gone, he will prepare a place for you. He will come again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. That is a great promise. But when he comes, make no mistake, we shall all be divided into sheep on the right and goats on the left, no matter how hard we try. You've heard the old story about the wolf in sheep's clothing. And if you read Aesop's fable, those never work out for the sheep. There's one particular fable that says the sheep disguised himself, and or the wolf disguised himself and fooled all the sheep, and he fooled the shepherd too, to his own demise. Because that night the shepherd decided he wanted some dinner, so he went out to kill a sheep, and guess what sheep he killed? Fooled the wolf. Great story, right? So no matter how hard we try, we can't fool our chief shepherd. He knows we are his sheep. And if we are a part of his fold, we are his sheep, and we will spend eternity with him where there's no pain, no sorrow, no death. And if we are not, we are goats. We go to eternal death and destruction, forever away from all source of love, peace, and joy, where the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today, you can make Jesus your shepherd. Remember the parable that Jesus told of the lost sheep in Matthew 18:11-13, where he left the 99 and went to find the one. But remember what he says towards the latter part of that. "And so it be that when he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more for the sheep than the 99 which did not go astray." There will be great rejoicing today if you make Jesus your chief shepherd. And in Luke 15:7, the parallel passage to this, the Bible records it slightly different, and I want you to hear these words. "And I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." Do you realize that there is a party that is in heaven waiting to happen, and you are the guest of honor? And the only decision you have to make today is whether you want to be a sheep in Jesus' fold. So whatever your needs are this morning, we ask you to consider that. Make them known as we sing the song of invitation.